Well, this comes to our conclusion of the book of Ephesians. This is the 31st sermon that we've had out of a little 6-chapter book, and we've tried to look at that pretty much verse by verse as we've looked at our calling before the foundation of the world in Christ Jesus, our election, predestination, our salvation, the unity of the Spirit of the church, as Paul addressed other issues here about marriages, about children and parent relationships, and all of the various things, the practical aspect of the book of Ephesians, as well as the theological and the doctrinal issues that are listed there. And tonight we come to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. And I want to read the rest of the entire chapter there. So it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all power and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That you also may know my affairs and how I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen." Well, I don't know about you, but if you've ever been in a hurry, have you ever started work of a morning, or you ever started to a meeting somewhere, or maybe you were leaving to go on a trip out of town and somewhere along the way you remembered something that you had left out of your suitcase, or perhaps you had left your notes for a meeting that you were attending and going to speak at, whatever it might have been. You walked off without your belt, or you accidentally, any of you ever stumbled out the door in your house shoes and thought you had already put on your shoes. You see, there's all kinds of ways that many times we think we're prepared, but we're not. As I think about most Christians, I believe, have forgotten that the Christian life, it's not a playground, but it's a battleground. And I really believe in these latter moments of time, I believe that we're seeing that intensified greatly more and more every day. As a result, very few of God's people are dressed, very few of God's people are equipped, and very few of God's people are really ready to wage this spiritual war that we are in, this spiritual battle that we're in. Now, whether we ever believe it or not, you and I are engaged in a spiritual war this evening. And if we are going to be successful in this spiritual war for Jesus, then you and I have got to be prepared for the battle. We've got to be ready to go to war. And so in this final sermon in the book of Ephesians, we're given insight into this spiritual battle that you and I are engaged in. We're also given weapons with which we are to fight the fight of our lives. Now, Paul reveals some interesting aspects here in this battle that he speaks about, as we definitely are fighting for our lives. First of all, we see our enemy in the fight. In verses 10 through 12 there, we see our enemy. Who is the enemy? Oftentimes, I think that we believe that when we have some kind of skirmish with another person, another individual, whether it's at the workplace or wherever it may be, there are lots of skirmishes that take place on Facebook. I hear those all the time. And certainly there are skirmishes tonight all over the United States, all over the world, where people are rioting, where people are doing all kinds of things. Well, oftentimes we think that we are fighting against those individuals, against those people. But I want you to know that the enemy in the fight tonight, the enemy's name is the devil. He is, with that word devil means slanderer. He's an accuser of the brethren, and we see his characteristics. He's always lying, he's always slandering, he's always accusing the people of God. And so the enemy in the fight of our lives tonight is it's a spiritual battle that we're in, and that enemy is none other than the devil. Verses 11 and 12 tell us this enemy's nature. He's very shrewd. He's the word wiles there in verse 11 is the same word from which we get our English word method. It refers to the devil's craftiness, the devil's trickery, how that the devil lies in wait like a hunter. And it's used also as a hunting term, how that Satan lies in wait looking for someone that he may devour, somebody that he can lead astray. In fact, Peter spoke to us on that in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, where he said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." And then Paul spoke about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. "And no marvel, for Satan himself," notice this, "Satan himself is transformed," that means changes, "into an angel of light." And many people in the world today are deceived because Satan transforms himself into this angel of light. Well, we see that he's also a spiritual enemy. Verse 12 tells us that. Too often we're fighting the wrong foe. We get at odds with fellow believers. And when the real enemy is this spiritual warfare, it's the devil. He's masterful. He sows seeds of discord among the brethren. And you and I need to understand tonight, when Satan fell from heaven and a third of the angels fell with him, those are his demons that he uses out there in the world to bring defeat into our lives. And so, first of all, in verses 10 through 12, what we see is our enemy in the fight is the devil. But secondly, we see in verse 10, our energy in this fight. What is our energy? Notice Paul said there in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might." Now, look at that verse for a moment. As he's speaking to these Ephesian Christians, he tells us where our strength comes from, where this energy comes from in order to fight the good fight, in order to fight the wiles and the trickery of the devil. He says, "Be strong." He doesn't say in the stock market. He doesn't say be strong in your assets. He doesn't say be strong in Wall Street. He doesn't say be strong in such and such and so, but he very plainly, assertively, and declaratively says, "Be strong in the Lord." And notice he says, "and in the power of his might." Let me tell you, our source of energy is within ourselves through the Holy Spirit of the living God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's where we draw our strength from tonight. I was listening to a minister speak today, and he was speaking about how that the world is so weary. It's so weary, battle weary right now that we are living in. But as Scripture tells us, He's promised He would never leave us. He would never leave us alone. And so I'm grateful that the Lord is a very present help in time of trouble, and that He never leaves us and He never will forsake us. Notice that word might. And in the power of His might, that means force or strength. It means ability. And the word power there refers to God's dominion and sovereign ability to exercise His power so that you and I can be energized in our Christian walk with Him. So our enemy in the fight of our lives is none other than Satan himself and his demons that are out there to try to do everything they can to bring discouragement. I don't know about you. Anybody dealing with discouragement? Anybody dealing with depression? All over the world, those are issues tonight. They are issues among the elderly. They are issues among the middle aged. They are issues among young people. They are issues among children today. Many of them experiencing all kinds of suicidal tendencies. And especially during times of pandemic and pestilences that take place in our world. I read just today where a healthcare professional committed suicide because of all of the things that was experienced of the COVID-19 in taking care of patients and the fear that gripped that person because they had contracted it and they were so distraught of how many people they themselves as a healthcare professional may have infected. And so suicidal tendencies are on the rise in our world today. So our energy and the fight for our lives is in the Lord and in the power of His might. Notice the scope of our energy. When a believer's faith is in God, then the Lord's power becomes the power of the believer. Now, the church needs to understand that we are only as strong as the one in whom we place our trust. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when our faith is in God and God alone and in His power, then His strength becomes our strength. The power becomes our power. And that's why the Bible says what it does to those who live by faith. Ephesians 3 and 20. In chapter 3, we saw this. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, notice that, that worketh in us. And so because of His incredible power in us, we see the scope of our energy. Then Mark chapter 11, verse 22 and 23, and Jesus answering and saith unto them, have faith in God. And Jesus, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I think oftentimes Christians live so far below the standard of what Scripture tells us we are to live in our everyday lives, realizing that He is far more abundantly above all that we could ever ask, all that we could ever hope for, that He has the resources. Aren't you grateful tonight that, aren't you thankful tonight that He never takes a break? Aren't you thankful tonight that He never goes on vacation? Aren't you grateful that you can call on Jesus 24/7? He's the great healer. He's the great comforter, who gives us comfort in our times of need. In Mark 9, verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Let me ask you a question. Do you sometimes feel that your boat is going under? You know, do you sometimes feel, Lord, where are you when I need the waters parted? when I think I'm going under, the song says, part the waters, Lord. I believe there's a lot of people there tonight. But Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believeth. And then in John chapter 14 at verse 12, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So we see all of this energy comes from the Lord himself. Notice the strength of our energy is in God and God alone. I want you to hear this illustration. During the war between the states, Gary Reading wrote in one of his books, he said a Union soldier from Ohio was shot in the arm in the Battle of Shiloh. The captain saw that he was wounded and he barked out an order, give me your gun, private, and get to the rear. The private handed over his rifle. He ran toward the north seeking safety, but after covering 200 or 300 yards, he came upon another skirmish. Then he ran to the east and to another part of the battle. Then he ran to the west, but he encountered more fighting there. Finally, he runs back to the front line shouting to his captain, give me back my gun, captain. There ain't no rear to this battle. Isn't that true? There sometimes seems to be no rear to the battle that you and I are in. And I'm grateful tonight to know that in the spiritual warfare that we are in, that there ain't no rear to the battle. We're on the front lines as soldiers of the cross. Onward Christian soldiers marching as to war. Because we certainly are in the fight of our lives and for our lives. And there's nowhere to run, but as the song says, where could I go but to the Lord? Let me tell you, we can stand in his awesome, awesome power. So our enemy in the fight for our lives is Satan, the deceiver, the destroyer, the murderer from the beginning, the liar, the deceiver, the one who is always accusing us, always accusing the brethren. Our energy in the fight is in the strength of the Lord, and in the power of his might. But thirdly, the Apostle Paul, he gives us our equipment in the fight. Look at verses 11 as we look at verse 11 and 13 to 18. Now, if you can only get a picture for just a moment. The Apostle Paul, he's in a Roman prison. He's shackled. He's chained. As he sees Roman guards, he takes a great illustration from the way these Roman guards and these Roman soldiers, how they would dress out there on the battlefield. Let me tell you, if you and I are going to fight Satan tonight, then Paul warns the Ephesian Christians and us that this raging battle is something that we will be continuously in until Jesus comes and sets up his earthly kingdom, or we go back to heaven with him in the rapture, and then we come with him and he sets up his earthly kingdom. But notice he speaks about the equipment. Paul is describing here the armor of the average Roman soldier. If these soldiers are going to be effective in the battle, they've got to be protected for the battlefield, and he uses this imagery of their armor to teach you and to me how we need to be dressed for this spiritual battle. Notice he says in verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Notice the girdle of truth there. That was the piece of armor that covered the midsection of the Roman soldier, and it provided him a way that he could move in battle, but yet not be hindered, and it would provide safety for his midsection, the girdle of truth. For the believer, that would be you and me knowing that Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Look at 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if you and I are going to take on this this girdle of truth, what would that be for us Christians? It would be the Word of God. Now think with me for a moment. How many Christians who profess to be Christians in our world today, how many of them would be ready for this spiritual war that we face every day of our lives? If we're going to have the girdle of truth, then we've got to know the Word of God. We've got to study. That's what Paul said to Timothy. Timothy, study to show thyself approved, not unto man, unto God. He said, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So, how are we going to defeat Satan when he comes? Well, Jesus, over there in the book of Matthew, how did Jesus defeat Satan? When Satan offered him the kingdoms of the world and to turn those bread into stones or the stones into bread. How did he respond? Jesus, or the top of the pinnacle of the temple. If you're Jesus who you say you are, cast yourself down. Jesus spoke, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so Jesus quoted scripture. You know, get thee behind me, Satan. And so if you and I are going to have the girdle of truth about us, then we are going to have to know the Word of God. The Bible scripture says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. So he speaks about the girdle of truth. Secondly, in verse 14, he speaks about the breastplate of righteousness. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now that referred to the leather body armor that was worn to protect the vital, tender areas of the body. Specifically, the heart was in mind here. To you and to me as Christian believers, to the righteous of life. We are declared righteous when we trust Jesus as Savior, and we're commanded to practice righteousness as a habit of life. When we live holy and consecrated lives before the Lord, we're less prone to succumb to the attacks of the devil. Our hearts are guarded, and we are protected from the slings and the arrows. But you see, if people don't study the Word of God, if they don't have the Word of God at their disposal, then they're not going to have on this breastplate of righteousness. They're not going to be living righteously as we are commanded in God's Word to do. And then in verse 15, he speaks about, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Notice the shoes of the gospel. Those Roman soldiers, they would wear sandals. And underneath those sandals on the bottom were nails that were driven through the bottoms that would provide the soldier with the surest of footing out there on the battlefield. He didn't have to worry about his feet slipping in the heat of the battle. He was always well grounded. But for you and me, what does that mean today? It reminds us that we are to be well grounded in the things of God. We're to be sure of our own conversion, and we are to be sure of the fundamentals of our faith. We need to know why we believe what we believe, and so that we will be on sure footing and a firm foundation when the battle comes and rages against us. And then in verse 16, he says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of faith, this would have been a large rectangular shield which the soldier would ward off the fiery arrows that would come against him. Oftentimes, those leather shields would be soaked in water before the battle, so that when the fiery arrows came and the fiery darts came, the water-soaked leather shield there would help put out the flame of the arrow. And so it certainly was far more effective on the battlefield for quenching the flaming missiles of the enemy. As believers, you and I are reminded that when we go into battle, that we've got to have the shield of faith with us. We've got to have our leather shield, but that is the shield of faith. It's able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, well soaked in the water of the Word, the washing of the Word of God, the water of the Word. Romans 10, 17 tells us, so then faith, where does it come from? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to increase your faith? Let me tell you, God will increase your faith as we study the Word of God. The more we know of the Word of God, the more our faith is increased. And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This will never fail nor expose the one who is a great carrier of the faith. Because faith will allow you and me to stand in the battle and receive the victory regardless of the odds that we face. When I think of the nation of Israel over there, that small little piece of property that the entire world has their eyes on. Now the world wants it because of all the rich mineral deposits that are over there. Because of all of the flourishing of the desert. And I heard the other night on television that they were saying that 500 million people in Europe, and that 40% of what they get comes from Israel. Their fruits and their vegetables and those kinds of things. Can you see, and Satan loves it because Satan hates Israel. Why does Satan hate Israel? He hates Israel because Israel brought forth the Christ child. The Jews gave us Jesus. The Jews gave us the scriptures. And so Satan is doing all that he can in his power to defeat the Jewish people. But I want you to know, they are the apple of God's eye, according to the scripture. And God is not going to let anybody destroy them as they would like. Hebrews chapter 11 verses 1 and 2 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Let me tell you, we are told here in this verse, above all, we're to have the shield of faith. Because without faith, we cannot serve God. Without faith, you and I cannot please God. Even if some of the other articles of our armor are missing or even damaged, be sure that you have the shield of faith. We sing, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. He watches o'er his own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. And then in verse 17, he gives us another piece of the equipment there for this spiritual battle, the fight of our lives. It's the helmet of salvation. And take the helmet of salvation, he says. This was given to the Roman soldiers to protect his brain, their helmet that they wore. Think about football players. They wear those helmets because so many of them have come down now with brain abnormalities due to all of the hits that they've had, or pugilist boxers in the boxing ring. And these Roman soldiers would be protected by this helmet. So if they got a blow to the brain, then it would render that blow ineffective if they were well protected as believers, as Christians. If you and I are to be protected in for the glory of God, then we must be saved. Salvation provides the helmet that is necessary to protect our minds from the attacks of the enemy. When we're saved, we're supposed to be changed, aren't we? The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When I think about little kids today, when I think about young people today, one of the things that I noticed that I've read much about this time of pandemic that has created big time problems, eating issues, people that have given away to drugs and alcohol and pornography. Those have all become big, big, big issues. I want you to think about little kids and children and youth and adults that at the click of the mouse, everything they have at their disposal. Let me tell you, if you want to keep your mind pure and clean, then it's garbage out and it's truth in. And the truth is God's word. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Notice for the believer, he also says in verse 17 that we are to have the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit. Now, for those Roman soldiers, it would be a short little sword that they would go hand-to-hand combat with. It was essential for the survival of the soldier if he got into a skirmish. But for you and me as Christians, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. It is an essential. It's been interesting to me to listen over the United States at the various places that opened certain things up that were essentials. Gambling casinos, massage parlors, brothels. But church was considered a non-essential. And so we are in the fight for our lives. It is a spiritual battle that we're fighting. Let me tell you, the primary Greek word for the word, God's word, the word, is logos. And that refers to the totality of the Bible, the totality of all of God's word. But here in this statement that Paul uses, he uses the word which is rhema, and it refers just to the right sword for that battle. So he's not speaking here of the entire word there. He's speaking of that part that you need for that specific battle that you're going into. And this was true in the life of Jesus, Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11, when he faced the devil there on the Mount of Temptation. Jesus strolled into the armory of the word, and he entered into the weapon room here, which is labeled Scripture. And from there, he selected weapons to use on the devil and to defeat him. And if you and I are going to fight Satan and the spiritual battle that we're in, we're going to have to enter into the weapon room of the sword of the Spirit and find what we need for the battle. And then notice in verse 18, notice the briefing room here of the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. How are we to do it? In the Spirit. What does that mean? Letting the Spirit control how we pray. All of us, if we were honest, we probably would pray more selfishly. Give me, give me, give me. For some reason, we feel entitled. We feel entitlement. But notice what Paul said to the Ephesians, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. When we let the Spirit control us, then we know how to pray. We know what to ask for. We know what not to ask for. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Well, I don't know about you, but as believers in Jesus Christ, you and I are engaged in a spiritual warfare with unseen, wicked forces, and they are assigned all over the world. These unseen, wicked, evil minions of Satan, they're assigned to governments. They're assigned to individuals. They are assigned in churches. They are assigned at the workplace. They are assigned at the schoolhouse. They are assigned in the White House. They're assigned in all phases of government. Let me tell you, with all areas of government, Satan knows where to strategically place minions of his to do his bidding. You see, if we're going to overcome the enemy, we have to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. We've got to remain confident. We've got to remain resolute. And we've got to determine that we will never, ever accept defeat, because we are fighting from victory's point of view. And that is in the strength and in the power of the Lord's might, not our own, but what we get because we have the Holy Spirit within our heart. God bless you for being here tonight. Thank you for your faithfulness. I knew we would be way, way down tonight, but God bless you brave souls for coming. And for all of those that aren't here and are listening by live stream, God bless you, keep you all safe, and hope to see you back on Sunday morning. Would you stand as we pray together? Father, take each one safely to their homes tonight. Keep them safe. Watch over our church family, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.